Ready our hearts, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Noah's Ark is one of those stories we rarely spend much time on as adults, which is understandable because it is a terrifying story. It is worth noting, though, that this is the one story we consistently teach children in churches everywhere. I have taught Sunday school here in Texas and in New England and in Mississippi, and we always teach the story of Noah and the Ark. Because there is a boat, and children love boats, and there are animals, and they like animals, and if we can focus on that stuff, then we can gloss over that whole bit about everyone drowning. Like a lot of things in this world, we are more comfortable unloading it onto our children than we are dealing with it ourselves, which is why we do not talk about Noah that much. But in this morning's gospel, Jesus equates the flood and the story of Noah with the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus tells us that when he returns, we will not know the day or the time. He will just show up. And like Noah, we are all called to be ready. So it's very easy to sit here on this, the first Sunday of Advent, and to hear Jesus say, "You must be ready," and to immediately jump in our brains to, "For Christmas." That's at least what happens in my internal dialogue. As I stand here in the pulpit, I am already very behind on my Christmas shopping. I have no idea what to buy for my husband. When we were younger and I had lots of ideas of things to get for him, I used to marvel and think, I wonder if there will ever come a time when I don't know what to buy for my husband. It turns out it's about 10 years into marriage, you've run out of ideas. That's where we are. My kindergartner has asked us for a robot pig that can make candy, which is not a real thing. I Googled it. Also, I'm in no hurry to decorate. Last year, I locked myself out of our house on the second story front porch while trying to put up lights on the railing, all while wearing a pink bathrobe. No one was home, and I did not have my cell phone. It was, of course, locked inside. So I sat out on the porch and tried to casually wave to our neighbors as though things were fine. I acted like it was no big deal that I was in a pink bathrobe standing on our front porch at 2 p.m. on a Thursday. It's the only time in my life that I ever wished that I was a smoker, because it would have at least made a bit more sense for me to have been up there with a cigarette in my hand. All of this is to say, when Jesus says, "Get ready for me," in the gospel this morning, I am incredibly grateful that he's not saying it's time to haul out the holly. This is redemptive news for me this morning, and I believe it is redemptive news for all of us. We are in the business of getting ready for God this season, for sure. To paraphrase that old hymn, Jesus is a thrill of hope, and the weary world rejoices. And the world certainly feels weary to us these days and in need of much rejoicing. As Christians, we are always hanging our hats on the hope of Christ. This is the most wonderful promise on every day of our Christian lives. Jesus is coming back, and we are getting ready for him. The season of Advent offers an odd kind of practice for the second coming of Christ. We are in the trial run for the Son of Man. At Christmas, we get to imagine what it was like the first time Jesus came, and in fact, we spend much of the Advent season doing that. We sing the old songs of our salvation, and we gather together with those we love to remember the one who first loved us so very long ago. There's a reason Jesus brings up Noah in this morning's gospel. Certainly, Noah did what God asked of him. Noah built a boat, Noah gathered animals, but there is a much deeper lesson to be drawn from the story of Noah and the ark. Noah is most remarkable because he faithfully gave up his power. Ultimately, Noah did not know what was going to happen, and what he did know was very, very scary. He did not know where he was headed, and he quickly gave up any notion that he could control the situation. It is a worthy story for this time of year. This Advent, God is asking us to give up our authority, our control, because human power is deeply, deeply flawed. And we all know this in our own lives, but we will stop at nothing to hold fast to control, to look like we're living our best lives now. In November and December, we are inundated with glossy magazines that showcase incredible food and party dresses galore. I certainly have some of these on my coffee table at home, and I know I'm not the only one. We long to imitate this reality where there is no family dysfunction and our clothes are never too tight. We want to control our narrative and our story. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Everyone has difficult family members. Some of us may be the difficult family members, and we just haven't figured that out yet. And everyone has days when their pants don't fit, especially during Advent. But we long for power in powerless situations. So we project a better self-image for the world. We draw relational lines in the sand, or at this time of year, we tend to draw these relational lines at the holiday dinners we go to with relatives that we maybe don't like. And we will do this all for the sake of feeling like we have some authority, a feeling like we were in control, a feeling like we are righteous and we are right and we know exactly what's going to happen next. The truth is, our power is not really power at all. It is just us at our worst behavior. And God knows we never really have power or control over anything to begin with. I am certain that every single person in this church has a lifetime of stories when we realized that we were not nearly as in control of our lives as we once thought we were. Our gospel opens with Jesus saying to the disciples, "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The funny thing about God is that he could tell us when he is coming back, date and time. He is God, after all. But he chooses not to. He chooses to hold back that knowledge. God clearly wants Noah and you and me and all those who we love to give up on our control projects. And how timely the season of Advent to remember this truth. We are readying ourselves for the truly powerful one, the one who is ultimately in control, the rescuer, the mighty counselor, and our promised Prince of Peace. And he desires mercy, not sacrifice, love in place of anger, and grace instead of control. So what does it mean to get ready for Jesus? My least favorite Advent sermons are the one when a preacher who's usually a man, and I'm married to a man who's a preacher, so I feel I can say this, a preacher who's usually a man gets into the pulpit and says to the people in the pews that they need to focus less on the baking and the gift wrapping and the decorating, so the women, right, because that's usually us, and more on Jesus. I don't want to do that this morning, but I don't want to burden anybody, but I do think that there's some good intentions in that message. I want only to suggest to all of us, to myself especially, that our need to control and to fix and to get ready for the season can prevent us from seeing the best part. Here we stand at the seasonal edge, and I know this sounds crazy because I have a Christmas to-do list that will not get to done, but we are already ready for all of it. We are ready for Advent because Jesus is ready for us. I take heart in those words from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where he writes to them, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." As we all worship the living God here on Advent 1, we lack nothing. So I'm not in a big hurry at the beginning of Advent to start the manic exercises of what we seem to culturally call getting into the Christmas spirit. I am thrilled at the idea of not feeling like I should control all of it. I am joyful at the thought that nothing I do this season, will improve upon the Christ child that will come into our midst to save us. I want to thrust my power into the hands of Jesus because it has always been his anyway. We're here to get ready for Jesus, and the incredibly good news this morning and every morning is that Jesus, in all of his mercy, has always and forever been ready for us. Amen.